Blog Talk Radio.
The champ is here! The champ is here!
Hey y'all, it's here. It's finally here. The buzz is here. What is the buzz?
ELTM Buzzwire Magazine at ELTMBuzzwire.com is a monthly magazine on the web.
Continuing with EOTM's mission to encourage, empower, and enlighten. Buzzwire Magazine at EOTMBuzzwire.com will help bring entrepreneurs together, and connecting minds will increase networks to increase net worth.
Read EOTM Buzzwire Magazine each month at EOTMBuzzwire.com. And stay enlightened and empowered.
The champ is here. The champ is here. What's up, y'all? What's up? Don Adams Jr. and Sweet Tea Talk Show in the house. Look out, look out, y'all. That's right, I said it correctly. We done renamed this thing. I think me and Sweet Tea taking over. What's up, Sweet Tea?
What's up? It's been hot, huh?
Let me say it one time, because I think some folks might be misunderstanding. Look, welcome to the Don Adams Jr. and Sweet Tea Talk Show. So, I just wanted to make sure we got it out there correctly. What's up? How was your day?
Man, Don, you know the kids is out for spring break, and
Oh my God, you was right.
They getting on my nerves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, when they on spring break or summer break, whatever, because usually when they in school, you know, they eat breakfast at school. I'll drop them off, and then they come home, eat a snack, and then it's dinner time. But when they on spring break or summer break, I got to get up, cook breakfast, do this. They want snacks. They want me to make cookies. They want me to do this. Oh, Lord, please, hurry up and go back to school. We have to get on my nerves. But other than that, I've been outside playing with their friends, and I've been took them to the movies. So we've been doing our little thing here and there, but they love being underneath me all the time. I ain't nothing wrong with that. Don't get it twisted, people out there. But everybody needs a moment to themselves. That's come with y'all. Your husband, boyfriend, kids. Everybody needs that moment.
You sound like you waiting to exhale. Look, you sound like you're waiting to exhale over there.
That's the word I was looking for.
That's the word you were looking for? Waiting to exhale?
That's the word I was looking for. Anyway, what's up with you?
Nothing much. Hey, I've been chilling, man, making plans for this weekend that's coming up. It's going to be a pretty exciting weekend, so, hey, I'm going to do what I do. You know,
it's
going to
be a nice weekend also, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's supposed to rain. It's supposed to have a few showers here and there, but, you know, this ain't the weather station, so I ain't going to get into it. So, y'all going to have to look it up online.
Well, you know, ain't that why I'm talking about the weather, honey, because some people probably want to know what's going on. People probably been sleeping on it, you know.
I got some people that want to know what's going on. They need to get ready for this hot-ass topic we're going to be talking about tonight, these pimps in the pulpit. And, yes, we're talking about the Catholics, the Baptists, and we ain't going to forget about our Muslim friends, too. I done dug up some dirt on y'all little asses, too. So we got the 411 today.
Wow. I'm scared.
Oh, you need to be. You need to be.
Cause
very
afraid, huh?
This has got to be some hardcore information. Yep. So with that being said, let's go ahead and get it ready, family, because we're going to go ahead and take it to a quick song break and commercial. And when we get back, we're going to get back so that Don Adams and Sweet Tea on the new Don Adams and Sweet Tea Talk Show can get it cranked up for you, family. But before we get started, I want to soothe the savage beast. You know, I love this tune right here, to soothe the savage beast. Welcome back, family, to another edition of the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. And I am your host, Don Adams Jr., kicking it up with Sweet T. What's up, Sweet T? You with us?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay.
Well, you know how to pick those songs.
Well, you know, we gotta take some of the, you know, right. We gotta take some of the stab out of the savage beast. You know how that goes.
I ain't mad at you.
You ain't mad at you. So what's going on with you? How was your day today?
Well, like I said, it was hot and tired with these kids. Other than that, I'm glad to see a new day. And even though my kids get on my nerves, I love them to death. So that's how my day was. I made some roast beef and mashed potatoes and stuff like that.
Oh,
for
my
goodness.
She's like,
you make
some roast beef?
Mm-hmm. And mashed potatoes. It was nicer to no hate because you went over here to get none.
Some of no hate. No, I don't do the hate lady in my blood. Not like that.
Oh, I see you don't have no sense of humor either. So you took
oh, no,
that
no,
way.
No, no, no.
Wow.
Let me see. What was I gonna say? Oh, so what do you think about the subject we're gonna be getting with today?
Like you said, be afraid, very afraid. Because
mm-hmm.
that's gonna be emotional topic.
Mm-hmm.
It
sure
it's
is.
Gonna be very
you
emotional.
Know. Oh yeah, we get a lot of. I mean, I think with this, when it comes to religion, I think that religion on any level. Hello.
Oh, you broke up, Don. You probably.
Yeah,
had to
I was saying. I was saying that when it comes to religion, on any level, people usually take that, you know, with a serious grain of salt. You know what I mean? You know, that's a very, very touchy subject. Especially when we talk about some of the things that's been going on in the Catholic Church and some of these other churches. That I mean, well, right now the Catholic Church is on the hot seat because of the sex scandals and things of that nature that have been going on in their communities, you know, in the Catholic community. And I think a lot of it, you know, hey, they've been getting a bad rap, but on some foot, you know, hey, if knowing the history of the Catholic Church family is where I'm trying to go. Teaches you a lot about why things are perhaps the way that they are, you know, with the Catholic Church. Not saying that that's a reason directly related to why we have so many ministers out there, men of the clergy, who are, you know, pedophiles, for lack of a better word. They're pedophiles. You know, the definition of a pedophile is someone who preys upon children for sexual purposes and so forth and so on. But, you know, and according to what we've been hearing, these men are pedophiles. And they have chosen to hide behind the cloth, the clergy, you know, for whatever reason. What you think about this, Sweet Tea?
Well, I just, like I said, this is going to be a very emotional show, you know what I'm saying? And because that's just one area that I really just, when it comes to kids, it's just very touching because I really just don't understand what they see in touching kids. I just don't understand that.
Well, you know what? To understand the pedophile or pedophilia, you have to almost understand that in a lot of cases, they think that they're liberating these children, showing them
that
a different way of life, so to speak. So
they
honestly feel that they are liberating. I mean, basically, you know, doing them a favor, if you will. They don't see anything
uh-huh.
wrong with something. Let's go ahead.
How's that, Don? How you? I mean, you did your research on this because how? Because they feel like they doing them a favor. I mean, you have to break that down to me because actually they doing themselves a favor. They the one getting off. So how could that be doing a child a favor? Like when I was watching Oprah Winfrey, this guy told me he looked for age 3 and 5. That's the highest he goes. So how's that doing a child a favor? I don't understand that.
Well, you know, in the mind of a pedophile, he feels as though he's not doing anything wrong when he touches a child or approaches, you know, when he has touched a child in an inappropriate manner. In his mind, he literally believes that, you know, he's doing this child a favor by adding something to this child's life, liberating them, more or less teaching them something that sharing love, so to speak. You know, and it varies from person to person, but it, you know. Basically, the gist of it is, you know, they think that they're doing these kids a favor. You know what I mean?
No, I don't. Like I said, I don't know what you mean because I would never understand that because
Because you're normal.
And I mean, you also speaking it, so I don't even understand what, how you even believe the fist those words come out of your mouth to try to even understand it.
Well, no, here's the thing. Now, don't forget, now, I used to be a probation officer, and I worked with a lot of sex offenders. So in order to deal with these sex offenders, you have to understand how, to as best you can, how their mind works, you know, which these are people that, you know, have intense sexual urges towards children and experiences, and normally they experience reoccurring sexual urges and fantasies about children. You know, and they act out on these fantasies. So, I mean, and I'm giving you the legal definition of it from a law enforcement standpoint of view. You know, but the thing of it is that it's a disorder, and it's common amongst people, and more so amongst our white brothers out there. 75 to 80% of the pedophiles out there are white men. We know that, you know. There's no cure for it, for this type of thing. You know, it's once, you know, you cross that boundary, there's no cure for it. You know, that's why the rate of recidivism in pedophiliacs, pedophiles, is so high, because there is no cure for pedophilia, if you will. You know, put them out of their misery.
They don't know how they keep letting them out. That's
what but see, here's the thing. When you look at keeping them in jail, you know, there's terms and limits that are set for everybody. And, you know, you really can't put them in, lock them away, throw away the key. You got to let them out. But I think
I look at it like this. The system is all jacked up, because they want to put people away for guns. And then when people kill people, they piss them away. I feel like the people who kill people in the same situation with the people who sleep with the kids, they need to be put away forever.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? I'm gonna tell you, I agree with you. I mean, I think that all pedophiles,
they let them back out and they do the same thing.
I think they need to be put on a boat, and I think they need to be sent somewhere to live on an island somewhere for the rest of their life. I believe that too, or whatever. But the bottom line is, you know, we live in a country where, you know, hey, the law dictates certain things, like when somebody's, how long somebody's going to stay in jail, and, you know, when they're going to be up for parole, and so forth and so on. But, yeah, let's keep it moving, because I'm going to tell you something. I want to go ahead and put some stuff out there for the family. But I like your opinion on that, Sweet Tea. I like that. I mean, that's real talk. Coming from a sister, too. That's real talk. But here, check it out, family. Let me get my normal acknowledgments out. First of all, you know, Sweet Tea and I want to thank you all for tuning in and giving us your time, because we know that, hey, there's a lot of other places that y'all could have been, but you chose to come in and tune in and listen to Sweet Tea and I chop it up with today's topic, which is going to be pimps in the pool pit. Are you kidding me? I want to give out my normal acknowledgments to Carla B., Ronnie, who's known as the First Lady at GPT, and Queen G, you know, our other host with the shows. Our information is out at www.eotmradio.com, or you can tune in to www.queensofinternetradio.com. Studio call-in line for y'all that really want to know is 718-664-6543. I'm going to send that one out again, 718-664-6543. My personal email, donadamstalkshow@eotmradio.com, if you want to send me some email. Also, family, the blog room is open tonight. The chat room is open. So for those of you who want to chime into the chat room and give me your comments in the chat room, feel free to do so. Now, I'm going to go ahead and put it out there about the highlights of tonight's show. I'm sure you all that are listening probably have an idea of what we're talking about tonight. It's going to be about pedophilia in the church, and also basically pimps in the pulpit, because, you know, right now the Catholic Church is on the hot seat. But what about the Baptists? What about the Muslims? What about some of those cats out there? And I'm talking about the top three, the oldest three religions that are in existence. I'm sure there's things going on in the Buddha camp and all that other stuff too, but we're talking about the top three, because, you know, we live in America, and in this country, those are the religions that stand out the most. And, again, you know, I don't want to offend, Sweet 10, I don't want to offend anyone. We want to also put out that our, you know, the host, our opinions don't necessarily reflect all of the opinions of EOTM and the rest of the staff. That's just a little disclosure there that we like to put out because Sweet T and I are going to be some very opinionated people. That's what they hired us for. So we're going to take the gloves off right away with this subject, family, and we're not going to spare none. But believe me, I'm not here to offend any of you. We're just here to put it out there as we see it. And believe me that, you know, Sweet T and I both do our research on these shows before we come out and we speak on it. So we challenge you to, hey, disapprove or disprove of what we're saying. Some of the highlights that we're going to have on here tonight, you know, also I want to put this out. Yeah, actually, this is one of the highlights. You know, every Friday on the Don Adams and Ann Sweet T show, it's Shout Your Business Out Fridays. You know, if you have a business or you want to call in and shout your business out, feel free to do so. Call in. We'll give you 60 seconds to put your information out there so people can talk to you. People can get back with you and see if we can be a part of your growth. Also, I want to put it out there and let you all know that that we also allow advertising on this show as well. You know, get in touch with our producers at www.eotmradio.com, Carla B., and she'll be happy to guide you through that that process. The other thing, too, family, is that I don't want to forget about our child support issues. You know, we talk about our child support petitions, and, you know, to date, you know, the other day I checked that we only had 44 names on there, but I want to say this to your family. It's important, I think, you know, for all of us, because anything that's good, that's not good for all of us is not good for any of us, whether you're on the receiving end of that stuff or not. www.eotmradio, when you go onto that site, if you look down midways of the page there, you'll see child support petition, EOTM child support petition act, and we're asking that, you know, you sign it, and by signing it, it doesn't mean that you don't think that people should get child support. It just means that we should just try to level the playing field, because believe it or not, there's people out here that are on unemployment, struggling, you know, with no place to live, that are losing their benefits because of supposedly, quote-unquote, child support. Now, if you think that it's okay and right to take a man's last dollar supposedly for the benefit of a child who's living across town and not worried about anything other than just waking up and playing outside. In other words, basically the child's taken care of, but the parent's going through some issues financially. If you think it's right for child support to say, you know what, well, we're still going to take your last dollar, and not only that, but the amount of money that you owe, we're going to hold on to it, add some interest to it, and make you pay it later on in life. That I don't know, you know. I don't know. Maybe this country is a little bit harder than what I thought. But with that being said, today, oh, yeah, absolutely. But with that being said, family, today Sweet T and I are going to be talking about the pimps in the pulpit. Now, we named it the pimps in the pulpit, but don't get it twisted. We're talking about the Catholic Church, the Baptist Church, and we ain't going to forget about our Muslim brothers out there. That's right, I said the Muslims. Y'all got some shame in your game, too. So we want to bring it to the table. Oh, yeah, we're going to bring it to the table. Y'all thought I didn't see him when he was out there eating the pork sandwiches. And, you know, hey, I'm going to get on the air and tell him about the pork sandwiches and keep it real. But that's another ball game, you know. Anyway, Sweet T, what's up? You got some comments on some of that?
I'm ready to take the gloves off. And like you said, we ain't here to hurt nobody's feelings. But, you know, we just here to talk about the situation, and we respect everyone who even called in into the show, say how you know, feel about the situation. We just, you know, trying to get it rolled. Let's get this ball rolling, Don.
Okay.
Let's get it started.
Well, you know what? It's not a secret that recently in news that, you know, the Catholic Church has been under extreme fire for, once again, for sex scandals, things that are going on inside the Catholic Church and have been happening with the priest and the young, I guess they call them altar boys, or they call them choir. I can't think of the correct term, and I don't want to abuse that term. But the young men that perform or that have positions in the church underneath the priest. Now, to date, this is something that came out online by Myra Oberman. This was just recently put out a day ago, and I was going to start out with another article, but this one caught my eye. This one says that child abuse scandal cost U.S. Catholic Church $3 billion. I'm going to say it again. The child abuse scandals in the U.S. for the U.S. Catholic Church, child abuse scandal cost U.S. Catholic Church $3 billion. The pedophile priest crisis has cost the Roman Catholic Church nearly $3 billion in the United States. but only a fraction of the perpetrators have been jailed, and little been done to punish those who've covered up the crimes. Now, that's serious. After years of painful revelations, massive payouts, soul searching, and reforms, the child sex abuse scandal has spread across the globe, and in recent weeks has struck the church at its very core. Pope Benedict, long celebrated for speaking out against abuse, is facing allegations that he helped protect predator priests when he was the Archbishop of Munich, and later as the Vatican's chief morals enforcer. We now face the largest institutional crisis in centuries, possibly in church history. The U.S.-based National Catholic Reporter wrote in an editorial demanding direct answers from the Holy Father. That's deep, because what they're saying is that this pope that is currently residing in that position, at some point in his career, was responsible for covering up pedophile sex acts that were committed by priests. In the priesthood, when he was in a position to oversee those types of things and to see that something was done about it. That's what a lot of people are upset about right now.
What?
Is that they're saying that the Pope was an enforcer. He was what they call a morals enforcer, was the position that he held. And they're saying that the Pope was responsible for overseeing these priests and making sure that complaints such as these were dealt with and that these priests were disciplined for the things that they'd done. Well, now they're saying that, hey, he did a lot of mismanagement, and that he turned the other cheek, and he's responsible for some covering up. That he basically let these pedophiles, and they call them predator priests, because, I mean, essentially, family, not to be offensive to anyone, but you know what? I look at it like this. When you take someone who's in a position of authority, and I say authority in the church, because when someone, you know, the church is such a sensitive subject to people and soul searching and saving, so when they go to their priest, their pastor, whoever it is, they're looking at you from a position that you are in authority over them, at least spiritually. And so that's why I use that term, that these men were in positions of authority and they abused their authority and they preyed upon these kids as true pedophiles. And they said that the Pope that is currently seated, Pope Benedict, is responsible for hiding and covering up a whole lot of that. What do you think, sweetie?
That's a doggone shame, especially for the Catholic people who look up to the Pope and respect him, because they treat him like he's like God and the king of the world. And for him to let that go down, that's really sad. That is really sad. I know a lot of people right now is very disappointed in him. And I don't understand, as far as, you know, I don't know too much about captains, what they, you know, talk about and everything, but whatever they believe in, you got to look at it like the people who listen to him and believe in him and follow him and believe in the word and turn around and he do something like that. You know, who could you trust, you know, with the word?
Well, you know, I think in the Catholic Church, and I don't want to quote this because I'm not a Catholic, but I think in the Catholic Church, the position of the Pope is the Holy Father, where the prayers of the people go to the Holy Father, and he ascends those prayers to God in place of the people, or something along those lines. Basically, he is the connection, the go-between from, you know, the church to God. You know, the church goes through him to get through God. So, and again, I'm not a Catholic, so I don't want to quote that. And if there's someone out there who can help me clear that up, then by all means, feel free. But I tell you what, it doesn't obscure the fact that this man is being accused of covering up the acts of these pedophile preachers, priests that were under his command during the time.
So what do you
do?
Wow.
He wasn't out?
So,
oh, yeah.
So they really have proof that he knew this was going on?
Well, that's a good question.
Or just a he say, she say stuff?
Well, that's a good question, because here, you know what, sweetie? According to what I'm reading and what I read here is that the allegations currently sweeping across Europe bear a stark similarity to those that first surfaced in the United States in the mid-1980s. You know, and, you know, with that being said, victims, according to what I'm reading now, victims were, a lot of these victims were intimidated into being silent. Abusive priests were left unpunished and shuffled to unsuspecting parishes where they found new prey and new victims. Yeah, I mean, and they were just moving, shopping them around. Oh, he molested a kid over here. We're going to move him here, move him there. You know,
Because I'm tripping off the whole situation right now, what you're saying, and if he knew this, I mean, for God's sakes, what he did, what he was doing.
Wow.
I mean, we got to be realistic here. I mean, if he didn't care enough to, you know, far as to open up his mouth, to how much you supposed to care for these people and they go to you to get to God, whatever, how they, you know, if you write, how they run their Catholic churches. Well, I mean, come on now. What, you just walking around watching the whole situation, or are you joining the party?
Well, you know what? What it is he just felt, I'm pretty sure that they felt as though, you know, if this was a situation like anything else that goes on a lot of churches where it's better to cover it up than it is to let this scandal hit the mainstream. Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. The church would rather turn a blind eye to it.
So the kids got to suffer because it's better to cover it up. That sounds ridiculous.
Hey, that's what happened. And let me share this with you too. They found that more than 4,392 Catholic priests and deacons sexually abused at least 10,677 American children between 1950 and 2002.
Now, I think they did a good job then, Don. They covered it up pretty well. It came out in 2010.
Chacho, what? Listen at you.
Wow. Mm-mm-mm.
And then here's another piece of it. Just 615 of those incidents had been reported to law enforcement, and only 384 clergy members were criminally charged, resulting in 252 convictions. More than 700 priests and deacons were removed from or voluntarily left the ministry between January 2002 and December 2003 due to allegations of sexual abuse. Man, that means that the Catholic Church was just saturated with sexual abuse. Saturated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ridiculously. A further 3,091 abusive clergy and 4,568 victims were identified from 2004 through 2009. 3,091 abusive clergy, 4,568 victims were identified from 2004 through
2009. Wow. That's unbelievable. I want to say unbelievable, but I had to catch myself. That's unbelievable.
No, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you know, these are things that people don't know. Yeah, these are things that people don't know. Mm-hmm. And here's another startling statistic about it. In a sign of progress, just 30 of the 398 allegations reported last year were perpetrated since 1990. You know, there's a lot of debate out there as to whether or not the Catholic Church has actually overcome this. Go ahead.
So do you have any ages on these kids? They start on and mess with it. Really don't matter, but I just want to see how sick they are.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. You know, they didn't. I think the ages ranged. Anyway, I could say I think that in the Catholic Church, there's a certain age group that they're selected to serve as a sort of like altar boys, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I think here. You know, and here's the thing. I don't want to just beat up on the Catholic Church. But I want to put something out there, okay? I think like this, okay? In order to understand what the issues are at hand, I think that it's important for everyone to recognize, realize, and accept and acknowledge all of those things, the past and the history of the entity that we're talking about. You know, back in the day, the Catholic religion did not require that their pastor or that their priest be remain abstinent. They were taking on wives back in the day. And what used to happen was that when the priest would die off,
when he while he was the priest over that particular parish or that particular land, you know, people paid taxes with their land and so forth and so on. And when people passed away, and they didn't have anyone that was there to inherit their belongings, the church, meaning that priest in that parish, inherited those lands, and that became property of the Catholic Church. So when the priest would take on a wife, and say he had kids, or let's just say he didn't have children, and he decided, you know, he passed away, and let's say if he had children, and the children decided that they didn't want to stick with the priesthood, they walked away with the lands and all the money. Well, if the priest didn't have any children, and the wife was left, she inherited all the lands, and of course, she's not going to go to the priesthood. It was up to her if she wanted to walk away. So the Catholic Church decided to say, well, you know what, we're going to create and enforce a vow of celibacy and abstinence for our priests, and we're not going to allow them to get married anymore because the church was losing money off of it. So that's how that came about, you know? And I think it's important for people to understand how that all came out, because a lot of folks can contribute that to, oh, that's an order from God that these priests remain abstinent and, you know, and celibate.
Mm,
you know?
You're saying a mouthful.
I mean, well, you
okay,
know.
My mouth just open over here, my eyes, but my mouth open. I'm like, wow.
I mean, you know, I'm going to share this with you. Celibacy has not always been required of priests. This is a quote coming out of some information that I'm reading. Defenders of celibacy rely heavily on Matthew 9:12, where Jesus is quoted as saying that they have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Whoever can accept this ought to accept this. Here, eunuchs is interpreted to be a reference renouncing marriage and being celibate. But if Jesus placed such a high value on celibacy, why were most of, if not all of his apostles married? You follow what I'm saying? All those apostles,
wow.
Most of those apostles were married. So, you know, I mean, to sit back and say, oh, you know, we don't want you to, you know, to tell these men that. I mean, because I'm going to be honest, I'm a man, you know, and I can't help but imagine that some of these guys are walking around with some desires, you know, and they just see these little boys walking around and they want to take it out. You know, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I just don't know. Yeah.
But you can't just beat up on the guys either. You got some sick females out here, too.
Yeah, but I ain't heard. Let me tell you something. One thing I have not heard of is a nun raping or dealing with a young boy. You know what I'm saying? Or molesting somebody. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't happen.
Nah.
I'm just saying we haven't seen it.
They keeping that quiet like they've been doing.
I don't know, but you know what? Hey, but stand by, sweet tea. We're going to take a quick commercial break, pay some bills, and I want to put a shout-out to the family, let them know that, hey, you know, that we are now doing advertisements on the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show, Don Adams Jr. and Sweet Tea Talk Show. Forgive me, Sweet Tea. We are doing advertisements on those shows. Go to www.eotmradio, and there should be a link for advertisements on that site. And also, you can contact our producers. Her name is Carla Barnes. I'll put her information out at the end of the show for all those out there who want to advertise with the Don Adams Jr. and Sweet Tea Talk Show. With that being said, stand by, family. We're going to take a fast commercial break and pay some bills. And we'll be right back with Sweet Tea and Don Adams chopping it up about some of the dirt that's under the fingernails of the Catholic Church. And don't forget, we're going to go right on over to the Baptists and to the Christians, the Baptists, and to those Muslim brothers. We didn't forget about you. We'll be right back.
All right.
Love Talk Radio. EOTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move.
We
shape the life for a better tomorrow.
BX, stand up.
EOTM.
You like that? Word up. No, I do voiceovers too. Word up. Get it in.
EOTM.
Destined for greatness.
Yeah. Check it out.
Make no mistake, Piranha the Chew, it's time to step up, get on the move with entrepreneurs
talking about.
Carla B, Sweet T, Mocha D, they focus, G, like a lady supposed to be. 9 to 10, Monday to Thursday, you get sacked in the first place, in the worst way. Oh, Don't forget Sunday too.
Nah.
Myroglyphics hooks your scattered dreams. Romulus the bars with the lock on books and magazines. For clear advice, Taylor Price. Most people think like she do, but they ain't near as nice.
Nope.
These divas are sassy. Built for howling, whatever it takes to do. Teach you how to flip a mortgage, yo, that's motivational. No vision when people perish. Blog talk radio, controlling the deeper fetish. The mission, to create a system supportive to network. Like when Bam Bada first met her. Life is not frightening when you're empowered to do the right thing. We encourage your enlightening. Career voices help you guap it up and live lively. New York, ATL, Chi-Town, and the IE. So sit back, relax, and come on board with the best.
Ride.
Sincerely yours in success. Y'all know what it is.
Y'all know what it is.
Call it B. What up? Entrepreneurs on the move.
On the move. On the move.
Yeah. It is what it is, y'all.
It is, y'all.
Blog Talk Radio. Yeah. Your man for wrong.
Hi, and welcome to your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com.
You know, when two people decide to get married, it's a pretty exciting time, but it also brings up a lot of hard questions. One of these questions is, how exactly are you and your spouse-to-be going to merge your money? The first step in doing this is to start discussing your financial goals. A good exercise to get this going is for each partner to make a list of his or her short-term goals, like paying off a credit card, getting a new car, or even going on a vacation. Then begin to list your long-term goals, like retirement or having a baby. From there, you should be able to determine which of these goals are a priority to both of you. Then, once you've identified these goals, you can focus your energy on achieving them. This is Gil Michelle.
That was your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com. To get more information and receive our free newsletter, visit BlackMoneyMatters.com.
No one on the corner has swagger like us, swagger like us, swagger, swagger like us. No one on the corner has swagger like us, swagger like us, swagger, swagger like us. No one on the corner has swagger like us, swagger like us, swagger, swagger like us. No one on the corner has swagger like us, swagger like us.
Mr. West is in the building, swagger on 100,000 trillion. Hey yo, I know I got it first, I'm Christopher Columbus, y'all just a pilgrim. Thanksgiving, do we even got a question? Hermes, pastel, I pass the dressing. My attitude is tattooed, that means it's permanent, so I guess we should address it, huh? My swagger is Mick Jagger, every time I breathe on the track, I asthma attack it. Why he so mad for? Why he gotta have it? Cause I play my whole life, now I'm the master, nah, nah, nah. How I feel to wake up and be the shit and a urine, nah, nah, nah. Tryna get that Kobe number, one over Jordan.
Can't wear skinny jeans cause my knots don't fit. No one in the corner got a pocket like this, so I rock jeans cause my knots don't fit. You can learn how to dress just by checking my breath, checking my breath, checking my breath. Follow my steps, it's the road to success, where the niggas know you're better when the girls say yes, yes. But I can't teach you my swag. You can pay for school but you can't buy class. School of hard knocks, I'm a grad, and that all blue Yankee is my graduation cap.
Over,
sipping Rovers, whipping with the soda.
Over,
did you even have any doubt after doubt? It was over.
touch. But I'm too clean for these cry. I require what I desire. I got stripes, I desire. Mommy scream about me, no mind. Run up in this shit, just me, no mind. Running this shit like I got four ties. No one has swagger like these four guys. When it comes to styles, I got several. Sharper than a swagger, dagger, all metal. And my jewels, blue and yellow. The type of shit that make them call you Carmelo. Rules as follows, stay true to the ghetto. Write your name on the bullet, make you feel special. Ha! What the fuck you boys talking about? I know it's us, we the only thing to talk about. And I'm gone. Wordplay, kind of easy for diversity and me for controversy. Y'all my verse is picture perfect on this pitch, serve a purpose. She ain't living what you're kicking in, you're working. Looking from the surface, it may seem like I got reasons to be nervous. Then observe my work and see that my adversity was worse. Versus autobiographical, absolutely classical. Last thing I'm worried about is what another rapper do. Ain't nobody hot as me, even if they rap their ass off, blast off and have outstanding quality. Sell a lot of records, I respect it and salute that. But spend real life on hot beats, I'm the true fan. You kick it like me, no exaggeration necessary. Living revolutionary, nothing less than legendary. Gangsta shit hereditary, got it from my dad. Flow colder than February with extraordinary swag. Okay. That's right.
Hey, 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 family, welcome back to the Don Adams and Sweet Tea Talk Show. I wanted to play that tune especially for this next segment. You know, previously we were talking about the Catholic churches and some of the sexual abuse scandals that are going on in the Catholic churches. You know, family, I'm just going to say this before we leave that segment. You know, hey, listen to your children. When they tell you that somebody done something inappropriate, listen to them. With that being said, let's move on to the next segment. We're talking about, once again, pimps in the pulpit. And you know what comes to mind when I bring that title up? The black church. Okay? What you think, Sweet Tea? What do you think about to go with it?
So far, so good. I agree with you.
Well, you know what? It's no surprise that, you know, a lot of our black women in the black community, our women are some of the biggest supporters of the church. You know, in any given Sunday you go into church, you will see women, just the majority of women, females in the church, and younger children for all intents and purposes. That's a phenomenon. I don't know what to call it, but, you know, Mike Mason calls them pimps in the pulpit, and I think that brother put it out there and said, one of the reasons why men don't like to go to church is because gang recognize gang. You know, what you think about that, Sweet Tea? I'm waiting on you. What you thinking?
You said, repeat the last thing if I heard you correctly. You said, what now?
Gay recognized gay.
No, back I up mean, far as going to church. Guys don't like it. I want to hear that.
I mean, because you know.
I
want to
hear that again.
Okay. A lot of men don't really want to go to church because, you know, when they go to church, they reckon, you know, they look in there, they see a lot of game. You know, they see a lot of, you know, a lot of pimping and pandering with the pastors. You know, I'm gonna put myself out there, family, and I'm not gonna chirp and chime on what other people may or may not think because I want y'all to call in. Studio number is 6543. I'm sorry, family, I'm tripping on myself. All right, now, with that being said, let's get with it. Now, I will put myself in this position. I'm not talking about anybody else in America or anybody else in the sound of my voice. I'm talking about Don EOTM Adams. I have gone to churches right here in Atlanta, Georgia, and in other places. And when I walk in the church, I see somebody standing up in the pulpit or bouncing around in the church, singing, tap dancing, and doing some of this and doing some of that, entertaining these women and, you know, entertaining the church. And what's happening is I think that a lot of folks, especially black folks, seem to feel like, you know, the only way that they're going to get some good church is if they entertain when they go into church. Then the pastor turned around and said, well, would a man rob God? Now, here's my thing. Would a man rob God? Now, you want everybody to dig in their pockets, whether they have food in their house or not. I mean, I've seen it in our family, and I can give you illustration after illustration. It don't matter. Give what you got, give what you have, so to speak. And these pastors out here pimping and pandering, I say that because what they're saying is, in effect, and some people call it prosperity preaching, but if you don't give to God, you won't receive. Well, you know what? I'm tired of listening to that crap because I'm going to tell you like this. I'm 41. I didn't give enough money in my lifetime to be a damn millionaire, so I ain't even trying to hear that no more. So, you know, let's just find another damn approach to that one. So I'm so sick of that one. And then you get these cats out here that tell you, God says this. Let me tell you something. I remember the most famous story in the Bible that I learned as a practicing Masonic brother was when Jesus went out there to one of those churches and said, you know what, y'all taking all this money from these people out there hungry. He got upset. He threw all that money out there towards the crowd, the people, and just totally disrupted the church. And the pastors or the religious leaders of that day were upset with him because he was preaching against their prosperity. So now, family, I'm just going to say it like this. I mean, I said it before. Anytime somebody hands you something and says, don't question this, something wrong with that picture. Now, we talking about pimps in the pulpit. Now, what you think? What you think, sweetie?
Yeah. Well, I agree with you, far as the money situation, because I mean, man, that's how you got that Mercedes.
I mean, you know,
man,
and then, you know, but,
I'm paying for your tools to get out the cleaners.
I'm going to tell you how slick these pastors are now. I'm going to tell you how slick they are now. They'll sit there and have these folks. They got some faithful followers now. They'll be like, I want my pastor to look good. I want him to look better than the pastor down the street. You know, and people just really believe that because he has the title pastor, that this man is supposed to live better than all of you. But I got news for y'all, family. Let me tell y'all something. Names and titles such as pastor, reverend, and so forth and so on, those are not God-made titles. Y'all go do your homework. I'm going to put some knowledge down your throat. Those are not God-made titles, okay? Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
So do some research on those. I'm not even going to go into the details of it. God didn't say we need to call these people these names. That's not man-made. So, you know, and I'm going to take it in another direction, but think about it. That probably means that a big portion of religion, maybe all of it, may be man-made. I mean, God didn't say how to get here. He just said to get here. You agree, sweetie?
Yeah, it's funny because I don't really I had a church in California since I've been going to when I was 13 and up until I moved out here. So I haven't found no good church out here yet, but I have went to a couple of churches. So I took my kids to church this Sunday, and it's just funny that you talk about money because he's sitting up there preaching, and he's going to get his whole church rebuilt because he was donating $1,000, $7,000. All day he got like about $54,000 so far. He said he's going to remodel. So when he was trying, it's the second time to pass around the basket. He was like, well, you know, go ahead, help me now. And people got to sacrifice sometimes. I said, now I got to be homeless? Now I got to be homeless? I got to sacrifice. I can't get you when I don't got me like that. I mean, really, though, it's just so sad because, you know, I'm real, real picky when it comes to church. Real picky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm not feeling you, I'm not there. If you feel like it's, like, all about a club church, people is for fashion and looking for a man or gossiping. You know, church is gossip. It's so sad that it's like that, and that's one of my pet peeves is, don't like going to churches, but I got to put my pride to the side and say it's about the word. But then when you go learn about the word, it's always about the money. So it's just like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Give me a break. Let me just go home, open up my Bible like I've been doing, and listen to the word on the radio. Because people gotta realize you don't have to go to church to be saved or not believing in God. You could be saved and then to the point like you would have your own Bible study at home, do your own research, read your Bible and all this stuff, because it's just to the point nowadays that I'm real picky when it comes to churches.
And you should be. Now, I believe people should go to church, but I don't think you should hang your hat on that because, you know, hey, I think that knowledge is very invaluable.
Like I said, you don't have to be in church to get the word. You can go home and read your Bible. Like my pastor used to say, if you don't believe him,
mm-hmm.
do your own research. I can open up the Bible. I can, you know, I mean, if you get to the point like I'm overwhelmed every church I go to and I want to hear the word, I start doing my own research. I start praying. I start reading my own Bible until I find that church.
Yeah. I'm with you 100%. Let me put this out there for the family. The congregations of African-American churches in particular are predominantly women, and the pastors of the African-American churches are nearly all female. Now, this is about to get hot. I'm just going to go and just put it out there. Now, I'm going to say this as to why I put that out there. We wonder why we see so many scandals going on in our churches. A lot of these women are emotionally hurt. They are looking for something in their lives. They're wanting to be led, and the pastor uses the term spirit-led, to get you in the church. And what's happening is the pastor is realizing, and not in all cases, but in a lot of them, pastors are realizing, hey, sister's a little lonely. I'm going to go over to the house, and I'm going to do some praying for her, some extra praying, and so forth and so on. Next thing you know, you done prayed up in the bed with the sister, and now you done got yourself caught up into something. And that's very prevalent in our churches. You know, I remember when I was going to a young minister for some counseling. This is before I began counseling myself, and I had no idea that counseling was supposed to be handled a certain way between married couples. And one of the things that at the time did not strike me as odd was that he separated me from my wife and he wanted to counsel with her alone. Now, I say that to say this. As a counselor, doing marriage counseling, one of the things that I was first taught and learned is that when you're dealing with marriage counseling, that's just actually it, marriage counseling. You do not separate the spouses from each other. You counsel them together. Okay? That's why it's called marriage counseling.
What are you trying to do?
Oh, you know, and to this day, I'm not going to speak on it because I don't know. But it was strange. But see, my point is this, is that when our women are going to these churches and looking to be led or to be uplifted or whatever their purpose is, they're being taken advantage of by these predatory men that are calling themselves pastors and church leaders. And what's happening is, you know, at the end of the day, you know, and I almost hate to say this, but I'm just going to put it out there. At the end of the day, that's one of the main reasons why a lot of men, you know, who are on the straight and narrow don't want to go to church, is they see a lot of this going on. It's almost like if you had a group of women who were sitting down and one sister walked in and one woman walks in and they see this woman, it's so many things they can tell about that woman by the way she walked into that room. But it's so many things that another man can look at a man and say, and he'll know right off, this is what's going on with this brother. I don't care how much he rhymes. I don't care how much he dances. I don't care how good he sings. I don't care how much he jump and hoop and holler. Let me ask y'all one question. When he's doing all of that performing, what in the hell is he really teaching you? I mean, seriously. What is he teaching you?
That he almost had the Holy Ghost.
Don't leave your mom in the room with me alone. That's what he teaches.
Okay.
He's gonna talk to a doggone
stripper.
Well, I mean, it's a fact, you know, and what's happening is we give these men power over us. Our women give these men power over them. And let me tell you something. That's even further proof in my mind that there is nothing in the world more powerful than the tenacity, the willpower, and the strength of a woman. Men are nothing compared to women when it comes to those things. I'm gonna stand up there and just say it. If you're a good man and you don't have a better woman in your life, you're not going to make it as far as I'm concerned. I'm just letting you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when these women get behind these pastors and they support these pastors, let me just let you know, that is the strength. Those women in those churches are the pillar of their strength in those churches. Believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Believe that.
I believe it.
Believe that.
I believe it.
So, you know, it's unfortunate for us, but, you know, hey, at the end of the day, most of our women are in the churches, and most of our men are not. And I think that, you know, hey, like we're talking about the pedophiles in the Catholic Church. Well, I call the Baptist ministers, a lot of them, sexual predators because they prey on the women that have those weaknesses. And women are emotional creatures. They prey on them, and they take advantage of them sexually, you know, and so forth and so on. So we have to acknowledge that, you know.
I don't. You got some females in there be trying to take advantage of guys all through there, too. Because, you know, a man, that's their weakness, female. So I knew a girl, I ain't finna put no names out there, but I knew a girl who got around with married dudes in the church. Exactly. Mm. That's how I was like, that's when maybe just started being real picky. Like, hey, every church I go to, it's just, you know, drama. I'm here for peace. Mm-hmm. I'm here for the word. What's the point? It's drama.
Mm-hmm.
Drama, people be talking about it. So when you get out to church, you hear them cursing. And, oh, Lord. I mean, I'll curse in a minute. But my point is the people who act like they just so a Christian and so, you know what I'm saying, like they don't do no wrong, those ones you catch up flipping.
You know what? I was going to say that, you know, I also in doing some of the research on this show, I read an article on why this came from CBN on why men hate church. And a lot of what they wrote in here says that it has to do with their masculinity and being replaced by Christianity as a true religion in men. And I beg to differ with that because being as a black man myself, I can remember. And again, Michael Bazin said it best yesterday when he was on the air, that black people need to know their history. They need to know where they come from, where they've been, and where they're going. And a part of that is your church history. Back in the day, men in the black community were not afraid to be in the church. As a matter of fact, that was the only place that they could find solace from the outside world, from slavery, from unemployment, be it from just straight outright racial prejudices, the whole nine. You know, men used to find solace in the eyes of the church, or in the doors of the church. So I beg to differ with that. Now, maybe in the world of some of our Caucasian brothers, that may be true. I can't speak for them, but not in my community. I just feel like the brothers are just not going because they're tired of looking at the games that are being played with the women. I have to put it out there, you know, and it just is what it is. But I don't think it's a matter of masculinity. Sweetie, why do you think so many women are tuned in to the church? Why do you think so many women are tuned in?
Well, honey, I can't speak for them. I really can't. honey, everybody's there for their own different reason, honey. If I can do that, you might as well call me Jesus. If I can speak for every female who's sitting in the church. I only thing I know is I can speak for myself, but I went to church. I went for the word, and then you hear a lot of people go to, well, far as the word and the gossip of the world with friends and females I talk to, they even go to church looking for a man because they say, oh, you can find a good man at church. That's not necessarily true. Those be the ones.
Exactly. I'm going to agree with you. Some of the worst folks, you know, we talk about our child support shows. And, I mean, hey, you read the letter that my ex-wife sent in on me. Accusing me of owing her money for back pay, but what she left out was some of the things that she had done to create this situation, and we put that on the carpet and we put it out there. But you know, eventually in that letter, people were able to see, you know what, this lady's a fool because the women called in and they were furious about some of the things that she had to say, and I applaud them for that. But you know what, I'm gonna put it to you like this here, and I say that to say this. That some of your worst people, because my ex-wife now, she is a heavy church-going woman. You can't tell her that she's a sinner. You can't tell her that she's doing some wrong things. You cannot tell her that she has done some things to some people that she had no business doing. You understand what I'm saying? Some of the worst folks are those church folks. I'm putting it like that. Some of the worst folks
are
church folks.
Yes, it'd be unbelievable. It'd be like, oh, my goodness, all this preaching, all this lessons that you gave me, though, and you turn around, and would it benefit you, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
well,
what I
didn't
hear from female. What? Huh?
No, go ahead.
That's why I be hearing females. Well, it's just, you can find a good man. They change. Mm-hmm. When I stop growing up, I'm hearing this, and then those be the ones they locked up in jail or just got to beating them. And then a guy say, well, yeah, I can find a good woman in church. That's not necessarily true. Wherever God send you, what my mom used to tell me back in the day. Well, if you ain't looking, that's when it's gonna come to you, and that's gonna be the best kind. That's going to be the best time. And that's true because it happened to me. And it's really true. When you ain't looking and you focusing on yourself and loving yourself, if you have kids, if you don't have kids and you focus on what you need to be focusing on to better yourself and your career or whatever you're trying to be in life,
mm-hmm.
and when that man come or that female come, they don't fit right in that frame.
Well, let me throw this in there for you, too. I mean, you know, and I agree with everything that you're saying, but I'm going to throw this out there. You know, in my experience, I think that what's happening with a lot of the Christians, now we got on the Catholic Church pretty strong and heavy about their history and why they feel like their priests should not be married. But I want to put this out there. Knowing the history of things is very important. The Christian religion is loaded in history as the most brutal religion that there is out there. Now, for those of you who disagree, look up brutality of the Christian religion and then go do some reading. It'll take you quite a while to get through that mess. At the end of the day, to understand where this religion has come from and how it has progressed through the centuries will help you to understand why they are where they are now in relation to the fact that Christians really truly believe that they can sin and sin and sin and go and ask for forgiveness and it will be given to you. Now, I don't believe that that is not the way that it's worked, that it works, because I know that God is a forgiving God. I believe that, and I've been taught that as a Christian and as a Masonic brother. I'm going to promote that, Masonic brother. But you know something? I think that there's some things in there that they have failed to mention. Once you ask for forgiveness for certain types of sins, you can't go back and redo the same thing. You can't go out and murder somebody, and I say murder, and I don't take it lightly, because guess what? There's different types of murder. You can murder someone physically, which is the most common one that we all associate with. Then there's spiritual murder. I think on one of the shows we mentioned, Sweet Tea, that we talked about how it is worse, far worse for you to murder someone spiritually. Michael Bazin calls them dream killers. I call them haters. It is far worse for you to murder someone and to let that and to have that person walking around on the face of the earth suffering with what you've done, because that pain lingers on in that person. And our Christian brothers and sisters seem to feel like, you know what, if I did a bad thing, I can ask for forgiveness and God is going to forgive me. Uh-uh. Y'all better do some more research, because when judgment day do come around, y'all ass is going to be surprised when y'all looking up and the flames is tapping you on the butt. What you think, Sweet Tea?
I agree 100% as far as what you're saying, because once you do something, you know, and you pray about it, if you truly believe, because somebody taught me, if you ask God for forgiveness, and then you still feel bad about it, that means you're not at peace with yourself. So when you come to go to God and ask Him for forgiveness, you got to honestly believe that He forgave you for you can have peace with yourself. But like you said, if you turn back around and do it again, it don't work that way, because you playing with God now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you ask God for forgiveness the first time, you need to stick with it, move on with it, and live and learn from your mistakes. And hopefully that, you know, the next mistake that you may not make again, it's not the same mistake, but the next mistake you probably make, you want to go to God again because you're only human. But if you keep on recycling the thing that you did, that you sound like you got a sick problem.
No, you sound like you pissing up a tree. You know, I'm going to tell you like this, you know, and I hate to use the analogy pissing up a tree, but that's what they're doing is pissing up a tree, because you know something, God is a forgiving God, but you cannot go out there and continue to do the things you're doing. Now, here's the thing, with some of these pastors that are out there, you know, these guys get out there and, you know, they're not properly trained, first of all, to offer the counseling and the help that they offer our women, okay? A lot of them are not properly trained. You know, you can come up in here with that, oh, the Spirit guide me, all you want to. But when it comes to you sitting on my couch, eating my food, sleeping with my wife or my mother in my home, I have a problem with that. You understand what I'm saying? The spirit ain't leading you to do all that, brother. I'm sorry. You need to get the hell up out of my house.
Turn the other cheek.
I'm gonna turn another cheek. I'm gonna look here. I'm gonna turn one cheek of his ass to the other side of the door and bust him in it when I put him out the door. That's what I'm saying. You follow what I'm saying? I ain't trying to hear all that. These cats are out of control. They are out of control. They're out of control. They're out of control. And you know, in the Catholic Church, they talk about little boys as the menu, what's on the menu in the Catholic Church. But in the Baptist Church, it's our women. And we need to recognize that. You know, we need to recognize that straight up and down. You know, a lot of these pastors that are offering counseling to our wives and to our mothers, these men, and in some cases these women, are not properly trained to offer these counseling. I'm sorry. Coming in here with a Bible and the Word of God is just not going to be enough in my eyes. I think that you need to have some type of formal counseling as to when it comes to dealing with specific types of issues that may exist within that marriage. I think that God may have meant for you to use that knowledge in conjunction with His Word to help mend the rift. But in the meantime, these cats are out here, like I said, they're coming in here like wolves in sheep's clothing and just destroying some families. I mean, destroying them. I can pull out a history of family. Destroying them.
So. Oh yeah, I don't get how people go to church and just be looking. I mean, I've seen it for myself. They sit there with attitude. They be mad. I be like, good Lord, why you? As soon as you had stepped in the church, you should have let that devil go. Why is you in church mad at the world for what? Why is you here if you don't sit here?
What'd you say?
Let that devil go as soon as you step your foot in the church. But as they say, I'm for real. I mean, it's crazy because as they say, the devil knows the Bible better than the front and the back of the Bible. So I guess they didn't want to let him go, and he sat right in church with that person because the people be coming to church just mad, frowning, irritated, mm-hmm. rolling their eyes, just talking about people, and what the heck is you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the word.
That's real talk. No, that's real talk. I know what you're saying. That's real talk.
Look what
that
she got
real.
On, girl. Look what she got on. She thinks she all
Oh, yeah.
That.
Oh, yeah. You know, I used to think,
man.
I mean, and, you know, and here's the thing, you know, and here's my thing. I mean, as a pastor of a church, now, here's one thing I will say. Now, a lot of people down Bishop Eddie Long, here in Atlanta, because he has a mega church and he dresses nicely and he, you know, he's a very successful pastor. I don't know Eddie Long. I've never been to New Birth. I don't have any plans on going to New Birth. I don't know anyone personally that goes attends New Birth. But I will say this, from what I can see, when I see Eddie Long, sometimes when he's out there preaching, Eddie Long doesn't appear to always have on a suit and tie. Sometimes he'll have on a T-shirt and a vest, and he dresses down as well as he dresses up. And I used to feel like when I was growing up, because every time we came to church, we had to put on our Sunday best to impress. I didn't have clothes to go to church sometimes because my clothes wasn't good enough. Now, that's not what it's supposed to be. And this is why I say we get lost up in the materialistic things, you know what I'm saying? And we got these pastors out there who they trained all right. They trained in spotting those weaknesses that I'm talking about and feeding off of that and capitalizing. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is, family. You know, and for those of you that disagree or don't agree or do agree, hey, you know, it is what it is. What you say, sweet tea?
So I'm trying to figure out what I was trying to hear the end of, you know, what you say he dressed down. What's the point of that? I mean, what you trying to say about
well,
that?
Well, I mean, he doesn't always wear suit and tie. When he dressed down, he may put on.
A bad thing to you, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because, I mean, you know, he's showing the people that, you know what, you don't have to come in here in a three-piece suit all the time. You can come in here dressed comfortably, dressed casually. You know, come to church. Church is church. It's not for that. It's not for us to be looking. It's not for the pastor to be looking up the lady's dress. It's not for the priest to be out here molesting little boys. It, you know, strip away some of the social classifications that we have taken and put on the church. Follow what I'm saying? You know, we just put so much emphasis on those material things when it comes to God and church that just really, for all intents and purposes, I don't think really even matter. You know, and that's my point, you know. So we're going to take a quick break, Sweet T. We're going to be right back, Sweet T. And Don Adams on the Don Adams Jr. and Sweet T talk show. We're chopping it up about the preps in the pool pit. We done ate up it. Oh, yeah, we done ate up the Catholic Church, and we chewing on the Baptist Church. Now, when we come back, we're going to chew on some of these Muslims out here, because I saw a couple of them down there eating some damn pork chop sandwiches and trying to act like it wasn't happening. So I want to put that on Front Street. Oh, I'm just gonna keep it real. But we'll be right back, family.
After. Better believe
better
it.
Believe better it. Believe it.
Raw Talk Radio.
E-M-E-O-G-M. Hey.
E-O-G-M. I watched Carla start it. Seen Ronnie do it. Sweet T and Say too. They came through. Taking their debut.
Yep.
In the recession. Showing us how to make do. In the middle was heavy, but light on the edge. With Chauncey Gibson, the righteous get fed. Trey Love crying from his heart to the core. On the move with the mind of an entrepreneur. A better tomorrow, we play for fights. Maximize potential, reshape your life.
Yep.
Time ain't never wasted.
Oh, no.
They got claws with guided meditation. Rise above it all, at least. Navigating through this Middle East.
Uh-huh.
It's like trying to rollerblade up a hill of grease. The radio media's a Maverick Tudor.
Woo.
With Grandma gripping Don Adams Jr.
Junior. Junior.
Y'all know what it is, man.
E-O.
In the building, building.
Oh, she's that man.
Hey, family, welcome back to the Don Adams Jr. and Sweet Tea Talk Show. That's right, I said it correctly, the Don Adams Jr. and Sweet Tea Talk Show. Tonight, family, we're talking about some of these crooked-ass ministers, priests, and now we're getting ready to move it over. Well, I'm not, before we move it over, I'm going to finish what I was saying. We're talking about some of these crooked-ass ministers and priests out here that's, you know, basically praying, or and I don't mean praying literally, but praying, as in predatory, preying on our women and children and coming to us under the disguise that they are men of the clergy, which, you know, I won't doubt that one bit, but, you know, everybody goes astray, I think, you know. Everybody has some dark clouds in their lifetime, so let me just say that, let me say it like that. But, family, some of the things that we've been talking about are so egregious, it's sickening, and we really hadn't even taken the gloves off completely yet. And for those of you that want to call in, the call-in number is 718-664-6543. We welcome your opinions. Now, y'all blowing me up on this instant message, but I'm going to let y'all know I'm running the boards up in here, and I can't be talking and chatting on this instant message. Y'all want to talk? Y'all call in. I see you. I see you, and I love you. So call in, and I'll put you on. Got unlimited lines on this camp. But anyway, Sweet T, we already talked about the Catholic Church. We already talked about the Baptist folks. What's next? We're going to talk about the Muslim folks. And I'm going to say this to you before we get with this. You know what? Strangely enough, all of the major scandals that involve the religions have circled around sex, whether it's with women, children, or just teenage girls, which is where we're going now with the Islamic population. Go ahead, Sweet Tea. You got something you want to say?
No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm like, I'm feeling you. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. You know, some of the, you know, I mean, now I'm not an expert on the Islamic religion, so I'm not going to profess that I am. I'm not going to try to put myself out there and say that I am. But I will say this: I like to read, and I'm like everybody else. I'm entitled to my interpretation. Some things speak out louder than others, and some things don't. But I want to say this to you, family, that are listening: if you have more insight or differences of opinion on some of what we're saying here on the show, I welcome you to call in. I'm going to put the number out there again, 718-664-6543. Let's move it on. A measure of the Islamic fundamentalist success in controlling society is the depth and totality with which they suppress the freedom and the rights of women. In Iran, for 25 years, the ruling mullahs have enforced humiliating and sadistic rules and punishments on women and girls, enslaving them in a gender apartheid system of segregation, forced veiling, second-class status, lashing, and stoning to death. Basically, in my mind, family, what they're saying is women are more likely to be stoned to death, lashed against, or spoken out against, and they're obviously one of the most prevalent practices that we see in the Islamic religion is when they force their women to be covered up. They're treated like second-class citizens. What do you think about that, Sweet Tea?
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't understand why they – you talk about the Muslims, right? I don't understand why they got to be covered up. The females got to be covered up and everything. I just never understood that one. Never.
Well, I think – I think that what they want to do is preserve the beauty of the woman, and I think it's meant to protect them, or is the explanation that they give, to protect them and their assets. Well, from men, prying eyes. I guess out of sight is out of mind. I'm not sure. And again, I'm not a Muslim. I'm not an Islamic expert. You know, I can't say at this point either whether I agree or disagree with the practice, but I can put this statistic out there. In Tehran alone, there are an estimated 84,000 women and girls who are in prostitution. Many of them are on the streets. Others are in the 250 brothels that reportedly operate within the city. The trade is also international. Thousands of Iranian women and girls have been sold into sexual slavery abroad. Now, what that brings me close to is this. It's no secret, family, that I've, you know, I've got an extensive law enforcement background, but I want to tell you this. The slave trade, the black market slave trade that exists right now currently, you know, women from the U.S. may go overseas on cruises and so forth and disappear and actually are kidnapped and sold into the black slavery market, into the white, I think they call it white market, slavery market, sex slaves. And most times they end up in places like Iran, Tehran, places like that, and they're forced into lives of slavery. Now, I'm not saying that that is a characteristic of the Islamic religion practice, but what I am going to say is this, that there are that these men, because most of this happens in a state that is largely Muslim and Islamic, y'all get to hold the bag on this show, period, because you are a Muslim, you practice Islam, Islamic religion, the Islamic religion, and you out there kidnapping women and forcing them into rape and into slavery. That's wrong. So y'all get to hold the bag on this show. So now, with that being said, that is one of the most common practices that happens in to our women as they travel abroad. And you know what? It's one of the most quietly kept secrets. We don't hear a lot about it unless it's a white female that comes up missing, and then the world blows up and everything flips upside down. But guess what? It happens quite a bit. This is one reason why I tell my sisters that when you're going out on these cruises, make sure you have somebody with you. Make sure that whoever you're with knows where you are. If you're going to go port side, which means if you're going to leave the boat and go on land, make sure somebody knows where you are, you're with somebody at all times. Because I'm going to tell you something, family. Once these people get their hands on you, you will never be found again.
Wow. I'm going to
say this again. Once these people get their hands on you, you will never be found again. They will move you from place to place to place, and they will sell you, and they will have men using your body. At the end of the day, in about 6 months, you either be so doped up, you won't know who you are, or you'll be so sexed out, you still won't care who you are anymore.
Hey.
And that's a reality. That is a straight reality. What you think, sweetie?
Yeah, okay. I was hearing you, but you really got my attention when you said you'd be so sexed out, drugged out, that you wouldn't even care who you are. And when you even sober up from it, you still wouldn't give a damn. That's what I'm trying to say, because you've been in bruised and oof. And
thousands of Iranian women and girls have been sold into sex slavery abroad. Here's the thing right here. The head of Iran's Interpol Bureau. Now, for those of you all who don't know, Interpol is the international police. These are, you know, you have the FBI, which is in the United States of America. The FBI, which is in the United States of America. You have like the Secret Service. You have over in Britain. You have MI3, which is their edition of the Secret Service and the CIA and all that. Where Interpol is sort of like the international police, and you have Interpol in all countries, including the U.S. You have offices set up in all these countries. Interpol has put out a statement saying that the head of actually this came from the head of Iran's Interpol Bureau. He believes that the sex slave trade is one of the most profitable activities in Iran today. This criminal trade is not conducted outside of the knowledge and participation of the ruling fundamentalists. Government officials themselves are involved in buying, selling, and sexually abusing women and girls. Now, let me connect that to today's topic, pimps in the pulpit, because in these countries, especially in Iran, most of their government officials are also their religious leaders. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that one more time. They're also their religious leaders. You know, and that's amazing. What you think, Sweet T?
It just really shocked me to know some of these things that you're saying. Like I told you before, you know, you learn something new every day. And, you know, I know we do this talk show together and stuff, but some of the things you be coming up with, man, it's just really be blowing me away, because this is just really, really, really crazy to hear these things that you know, I know it exists, but just hearing it and doing your research on it and talking about it, you could be real, real, real touched by it. At least I can. So that's how I feel about the whole situation right now, as far as everything we've been talking about on the show for the last almost 2 hours, Don. So that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right here. Listen, let me read this to you, too, okay? Many of the girls come from the impoverished rural areas. Drug addiction is epidemic throughout Iran. And I want to say this, you know, not necessarily, you know, am I putting Iran on the front seat. I don't want countries like Egypt, Cairo, South Africa, and some of these other countries out there that practice the Islamic religion, and some of these other countries, who even, for instance, Ethiopia, which is the oldest Christian religion alive. A lot of people didn't know that. Ethiopia is where the origins of the Christian religion sprouted from. It's the oldest Christian religion in that hemisphere. It's the Ethiopian culture. You know, this type of stuff, the slave trade happens in all of those communities. You know, as you know, and it's so prevalent, and a lot of these, and the connection between that and today's show is that in most of the cases, and I'm not going to say all, but in most of the cases, a lot of these people are hiding behind the guys that, you know what, hey, this is all done in Allah or the religion, or, you know, for this glory, some higher glorious purpose, that you are meant to be this to these men, and that's wrong. You know, I know we have our issues in the Catholic community. I know we have our issues in the Baptist community and in the black churches. But, you know, this right here, to me, is the most egregious and the most sickening, is to actually kidnap somebody and think that it's okay to do so because so forth and so on. Right.
But you know, like I said, I mean, I'm not surprised, because just look at all these missing people who and the kids and everything. Just imagine what other people going through, you know, and it's just sad, because you just never say never. Like I said, the situation I was in last Friday when I thought my daughter was missing, you know, and that could have been one of the people who could have snatched up. You just never know what, you know, life brings you. So I just thank God for my daughter being okay, and I just pray for the ones that still need to be found or saved, because you claim that they'll never be found again, but I don't. If it's a God, it's a way. So I just don't give up on that, Don, as far as you're saying that they be took and they gone for good. You just never know. They probably will be found.
Let me put something out there for you. Many of the girls come from impoverished rural areas. Drug addiction is an epidemic throughout Iran, and some addicted parents sell their children to support their habits. Child selling is a big thing over there, and it is a big thing in other countries as well. But the deal is that in a lot of Islamic cultures, girls are not considered to be as valuable to the family as boys are, so they're more apt to be subjected to a lot of these things. 28% for youth 15 through the ages of 29 years of age, and 43% for women 15 to 20 years of age is a serious factor in driving restlessness. Youth to accept risk offers for work. Some of these women literally go and agree to do these things simply because they have no options in life. And that's huge, because if you have all these clergymen and all these religious factions that are running around that see these types of things going on, they're supposed to intervene. But guess what? On the opposite side of the fence, they support this, because in their culture, women are not as important as men. Believe that. Slave traders take advantage of any opportunity in which women and children are vulnerable. For example, following the recent earthquake in Bab, orphan girls have been kidnapped and taken to a known slave market in Tehran, where Iranian and foreign traders met. Popular destinations for victims of the slave trade are the Arab countries in the Persian Gulf, according to the head of the Tehran province judiciary. Traffickers target girls between ages 13 and 17, although there are reports of some girls as young as 8 and 10 that are sent to these Arab countries to be subjected to these slave rings, these slave rings. What do you think about
eight
that?
8 and 10.
Yeah.
You said 8 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
They got them out there having sex with people for drugs and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One ring was discovered after an 18. Go ahead.
I just would never be able to, you know, I know you and counselor and all that stuff, but I don't care. If I went to school to be what you was and all, I still won't even, I don't think I would understand the person's mind to do something to a child. The only thing I could come up with, that they evil, deceitful, cold, and devilish.
I'm not going to disagree with you one time. You know, you know what the reality of it is, though, sweetie, is that, you know, whether we like it or not, we don't have to condone it. But one thing we all have to look at as people, and I don't care if you're black, white, Hispanic, I don't care what you are, Mexican, Hispanic, because there is a difference, because Hispanics are from here, Mexicans are from Mexico. I don't care what you are. We all have to realize as a community, as an international community, that these things exist. It's like we talk about with the child support shows. When these facts and these things don't come up, people don't know. People blindly and quietly move on about their business and just don't even acknowledge these things because it doesn't affect them directly. Herein lies the problem. Our men are not in the churches enough. Then we have these men in the Catholic world who are preying on these little boys, these altar boys that are in the Catholic religion. And then we have, on the other foot, some of our women are being subjected to the slave rings and the brutality that's going on in the Islamic communities overseas, and in some cases here in the United States of America. There were certain cases where there were Islamic sects that were caught up with prostitution and dealing with these young girls here in the United States of America. I just haven't brought those stories up, but it happens. And, you know, this is what happens to a community when the men are missing in action. I'm going to say it again. We need our women, but when the men are missing in action, this is what happens. Those men that are on the surface, that are present in the lives of these women, take advantage of them. And there is no checks, there is no system of checks and balances to prevent them from doing these things. This is why this happens the way that it does. This is why we're having this show today. And I'm ask you for a comment on that, sweet tea. But as soon as you finish with that, I'm going to give the family a statement that I found that has to do with what I think is one of the main reasons why all of these societies are running rampant and doing the things they're doing. Go ahead.
You said you want me to make a comment as far as why so many men sit down in church?
Yeah. I mean, just on basis of what I just said about the fact that, you know what, we're missing our men. You know what I'm saying? Our men are missing. The good guys, the guys that, you know, that really are truly about God, really truly, you know, they're just
right.
Not there. You know what I'm saying? That's what
right.
That opens the
right.
Door for all of these predators to go in there and do the things that they do. When they see a woman walking in that church house with just a kid or a trail of kids, that's prime time for them. When they see a woman coming in there and she, you know, and she's giving her son to the church, say, look, you know, I want him to be an altar boy because I want him to grow up right and to do the right thing. Okay, that's prime time for these predatory folks. You know, when they see you out there in the Islamic community out there doing whatever you're doing, and you know, and your child comes up missing because you didn't know the difference or you couldn't see it coming, that's prime time, easy money. Even that's the law of the jungle. Even in the wilderness, the male lions usually sit back and hide in the bush until there's trouble. The females go out and do all the hunting and do all the killing. The male lion comes in, eats his fill, he goes on and sits back. But you know what? Let another male lion walk into that camp and try to take over. That's when the male lion's going to come out of the bush, and guess what? It's his to be on. He's sitting back anyway. Well, in our community, where's our men? They're not there. They're simply not there.
And it's sad because, like you said, the ones that's good and do right by the Lord and it's not in church. Where they at, that's a million, what's how you said, that's $1 million a question. Where they
Oh, yeah. Okay. And over in the net, go ahead.
You would think that they would actually open up their own church and really preach the word and be right. You would. That's what I want to say where they at. That maybe they pastors they self now.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? But,
well, you know, I mean, that's a thought process right there. But, you know, I'm going to say this to you. I'm going to put this out there for the family, too. This statement that I got right here for everybody. You know, and before I put this out there, you know, again, this show is not to not necessarily or not this show is not designed to inflame anyone or to put anyone's particular religion on the front seat. I mean, these things that we're putting out there are factual things that have happened. These are not premonitions of things that we're trying to say are going to happen. These are things that have happened. And, you know, I think all too often when we look at religion, whether it's the Muslim religion, the Catholics, or the Christian, we get caught up in the one thing that's called classification. Believe it, classification. That's what's wrong with this country now. That's why when you look at an application, they want you to identify yourself as a Negro. They want you to identify yourself as an African-American. They want you to identify yourself as a Hispanic, white, Caucasian. Even when you go to jail in this country, they slap a ban on you and they say, hey, guess what? This is what you are. Well, the religion has tapped into that. And guess what? The classification of it is we have the pastor, we have the people under the pastor, we have the people under the people under the pastor, we have the secretary, and then we have the flock that's out there. And, you know, that's what gives these people their power and their authority over you is the fact that we believe in the classification that they have identified for themselves and placed upon you. Yes, we agree to follow them, but that's the key word, we agree. So with that being said, let me read this out there, family. System of classification, a group of people within a society who possess the same socioeconomic status. The term was first widely used in the early 19th century, following the industrial and political revolutions of the late 18th century. The most influential early theory of class was that of Karl Marx. Now, before I go any further, for those of you who know who Karl Marx is, actually, let me go ahead and read the rest of this, and then we'll come back to that. But who Karl Marx, who focused on how one class controls and directs the process of production, while other classes are the direct producers and the providers of services to the dominant class. The relations between the classes were thus seen as antagonistic. Max Weber emphasized the importance of political power and social status or prestige in maintaining class distinctions. Despite controversies over the theory of class, there is general agreement in the characteristics of the classes in modern capitalistic societies. In many cases, the upper class has been distinguished by the possession of largely inherited wealth, while the working class has consisted mostly of manual laborers and semi-skilled or unskilled workers, often in service industries, who earn moderate or low wages and have little access to inherited wealth. The middle class includes the middle and upper levels of clerical workers, those engaged in technical and professional occupations, supervisors and managers, and such self-employed workers as small-scale shoppers, shopkeepers, business people, and farmers. There's often an urban or permanently jobless and underemployed workers term the underclass. Why are we so ignorant to certain things? Okay, we're blinded by the bull, S-H-I-T, if I said that correctly. Fairly, what I just read to you was plain and simply what we've been talking about the entire night. You know, and what we talk about here at EOTM is empowerment, enlightenment, and envisionment, you know, and what that means in a word, well, actually what I'm saying here is that when you look at what's going on with all the religion, the churches, the government, all these things that are around us, everything that we entertain, it's all built upon a system of classification. You go to work, you're classified as an employer. This man above you is your boss. Guess what? He has a whole on that job. He holds a higher status than you do in life. You go to church. The pastor is religiously or spiritually supposed to hold a higher position over you. But guess what? They're pimping you out. Same thing with your boss. He's pimping you out. You follow where I'm going, family? It's a system. And guess what? Our churches and our religion are not obscured from that. That is the connection that I wanted to make with all of that. What you think, sweetie?
Wow, Don. They're pimping you out, man. They're pimping you out, man.
They're pimping me out.
That's what I
mean.
Say.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, we have to wake up and realize, you know, it's like I always say, you know, when somebody says to you, look, if I say to you, look, here's this, take this, and don't question it. I want you to not question it. I want you to just run with it. There's something wrong with that picture.
That's scary.
You know what I'm saying? There's something wrong with that picture. And that's what that's they did with the Bible. It said, hey, don't, you know, and which brings me to this, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but bring me to this, sweet tea, before we start wrapping it up. It's like King James, right? And I'm just going to put it out there. You know, how many pastors out there, I mean, I'm sure some of these pastors know about it, but they're not going to mention it, but how many folks out there are willing to admit what the truth is about King James and the version of the Bible that he created? I'm not even going to touch it, but how many people are willing to admit it? But I will say this, how can you expect me to believe the word of a heretic, a homosexual, or someone who, and I don't mean homosexual in a negative way, because I am by no way, shape, form, or imagination have any issues with the gay world at all. I support you guys, as a matter of fact. But I'm talking about the fact that King James back in his day was so corrupt. He participated in homosexuality. He participated in sexual relationships. He participated in adultery. He murdered his wives when he got tired of when he realized he couldn't just divorce them, because he originally was a Catholic, belonged to the Catholic religion. Then he switched over and went Protestant and rewrote the Bible to suit his needs. Now there's so much history on that. How can you say that this man who has supposedly quote unquote recreated this version of the Bible for his personal needs is an accurate, true, and affordable depiction of what's going on? And that's my point. I challenge you, anybody, to go and research that, find out about it. And then, you know, I'm not saying you don't have to believe it, but find out about it. Don't just blindly walk into this fold because someone said this is where you belong. That's all
right.
I'm saying.
You know? Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
You're
right.
Absolutely.
That's yep. real. That's real talk there. You kept that one right there, 100. You know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you know that. Which leads me to this. Let's take a quick song break, and Carla B wants me to play something. I gotta find it anyway. But listen, we're gonna be right back, family, with Sweet T and Don Adams on the Don Adams and Sweet T Talk Show. We'll be right back, family.
Shaggy with a common name, stand with your name. Flip this one for your musical date.
But who's gonna have your back when it's all done?
Yeah.
No good when you listen to your dear fun. Can't be a fool, son. What about the long run?
Yeah.
Looking back, shorty, always a mention. Say me not giving her much attention.
Yeah.
He was there through my incarceration. I wanna show the nation my appreciation.
Girl, you're my angel. You're my darling angel. Closer than my peeps, you are to me. My darling angel, girl, you're my friend when I'm in need, lady.
You're a queen and that's how you should be treated. So you never get the loving that you needed.
Yeah.
Could have left, but I call and you heeded. Begged and I pleaded, mission completed. And I said that I and I did the program. Not the touch to me, surrounded with your emotion.
Yeah.
But the feeling that I have for you is so strong. Been together so long and this could never be wrong.
Girl, you're my angel. You're my darling angel. Closer than my peace, you are to me. Shorty, you're my angel, you're my darling angel. Girl, you're my friend when I'm in need.
Girl, inside of my behavior, say I'm your savior.
You must be sent from up above.
so tender. Say, girl, I surrender.
Thanks for giving me your love.
Girl, in spite of my behavior, you are my savior.
You must be sent from up above.
And you appear to me so tender. Well, girl, I surrender.
So thanks for giving me your love.
Now life is one big party when you're still young. And who's gonna have your back when it's all done? It's all good when you live to have pure fun. Can't be a fool, son. What about the long run?
Yeah.
Looking back, shawty, always I mention. Tell me not giving her much attention.
Yeah.
She was there through my incarceration. I wanna show the nation my appreciation.
Girl, you're my angel. You're my darling angel. Closer than my peeps, you are to me.
Welcome back, family, to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. You're chopping it up with Sweet T on the Don Adams and Sweet T Talk Show. And we're talking about some of these pimps that's out here in these pool pits that's taking advantage of some of their flop. You know, Sweet T, we got about 8 minutes left on the show. You want to get chime in with some final thoughts on some of what we talked about?
Yeah, like I always tell you around this time, it's a pleasure to working with you. And
you silly.
And you always picking out some good topics for us to talk about. And like I said earlier in the show, that I learn something new every day, especially from Don. So the listeners out there who take time out to listen to us, as Don say, family out there,
yeah,
who listen to,
that's right,
you know, to us, we appreciate you. And hopefully I'm not the only one who learns something new every day. Hopefully that you learn something today also and took something and, you know, and ran with it, you know. So that's what I want to say about that, Don.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, man. You know what? It's always a pleasure working with you, too. Some of the topics that we talk about are, and just so that the family knows that, you know, sometimes we talk about some of the political topics. Sometimes we talk about religious topics like what we're talking about today. And not everything that we're going to have on this show is going to reach out to everyone at every particular point in time. You know, we understand that. You know, we try to bounce around on the spectrum. Some days we're going to have some fun topics, and some days we're going to have some serious topics. Today, I think, was a serious topic.
Right.
You know, information that we felt that, you know, hey, we need to get out there. We researched and we got it out there. You know, and again, I'm going to say this to everyone in the sound of my voice, that, you know, the opinions of Sweet T and I are not necessarily a reflection of the entire EOTM family and host, or the hosts that participate with EOTM. And I say that as a disclaimer so that, you know, if someone is offended by something that we have said, that you address it properly where it belongs, which is with us. You know, and
right.
I know Sweet T's got, I know she's got my back and I got her back. You know, and again, you know, not to put it out there in a contradictory manner, but I just want you all to understand, family, that, you know, one of the reasons why, actually the reason why I chose this particular topic, we chose this topic, is because we really truly want to put things out there that will enlighten you, that will shock you, that will put your mind in a frame of, you know what, hey, is that true? Can I find out about it? And really
right.
go and look at it. Because you know what, if the worst thing that I think anybody can do in life is just simply not know. And in the words of the great Martin Luther King, you know, anytime you do know of an injustice, regardless of where it is, whether it's child support, whether it's racism, and I said child support, that's right, family, because child support is a huge injustice on our people. Whether it's child support, whether it's, you know, pimps in the pool pit, it doesn't matter. When you recognize an injustice, whether it be social, whether it be political, or whether it even be criminal, and you don't participate or try to stand up against it, you become as guilty as the actor, the person that is executing that against that person. Okay? I believe that. And for my part in this, you know, I see it, I know it, and I'm blessed to have a voice in the community, and regardless of how big or small it is, I have a voice, you know, and I'm able to put that information out there. You know, we have people out there, a lot of folks have said that, you know, we sound like we're angry on the show. We sound like, well, let me just share this with y'all, family. For those people that say things like that, obviously you don't listen to Pat Robertson and Rush Limbaugh, because those two clowns right there are the most irate, ignorant-ass people that I know with a microphone and a face in their mouth, period. And I say that without and I say that without recourse, without sorrow, without hesitation. They are some ignorant-ass people. You know, when Pat Robertson stood up and said that the Haitian people were hit with an earthquake because they made a pact with the devil when they decided to fight for their freedom and won it and kept it from slavery, they made a pact with the devil. And then when you saw Rush Limbaugh on TV just the other day saying things like, well, we need to go to Capitol Hill and we need to run Obama and all the rest of the Democrats out of office. We need to wipe them out and get rid of them. You know, no one said anything. You know, black America sat around. I mean, you know, our liberal America sat around and we laughed at these clowns. Well, it's not funny to me, because if these men can say if these men can say the things that they want to say, then so can I. And at the end of the day, you know what? If you really want to be upset about something, I want to see y'all march on these clouds. I want to see y'all go down there and let your congressmen and all these other folks step up and say, you know what, let's make some real changes like we see the Obama administration trying to do. Because I promise you this, family, when that man is done with the presidency, we can't see it right now because you never see it as it's happening. But I promise you this, family, with some of the things that are going, and I look for them to also tackle some of the issues with the church, too, as far as these priests not being proactive in protecting these young men. You know, but when this administration is done and we look back and we see some of the things that Obama has created and done and successfully passed on, y'all are going to be amazed by that. And you're going to say, wow, this man really did make some changes. You know, and that's the best thing I can say about it. But don't forget this, family, classification. And I know it's a big word, you know, to some folks, but it's really not. What it means is, hey, this is where we want you to fit in. Classification, family. Learn about that. Read about that. Let's make some changes about that. With that being said, I want y'all to join Sweet T and I this Friday. Did I get it right this time, Sweet T?
Yes, you did.
I know I said so crazy last week. This Friday, Sweet T and I are going to tackle another hot-button political topic, but we're going to mix it up a little bit, Sweet T. This Friday, there's a thing I call the Obama theory. The Obama theory, is it conspiracy or is it bullshit is what I'm going with. You be the judge of that. But we're also going to talk about cheaters. We're going to mix it up a little. We're going to make it political, but we're going to make it personal. And we're going to talk about some of the cheaters out there who done cheated on their wives, cheated on their husbands. You know, we're going to try to see if we can figure out what are some of the warning signs, some of the giveaway things. We're going to talk about cheaters because that's a hot one. You know what I'm saying? We won't chop
it
up with
that.
Yes, it is. So with that being said, family, you know, Sweet T and I are going to say goodnight to you all. And remember this, EOTM also stands for Enlightenment, Optimism, Movement, and so forth and all that other good stuff. Carla B is going to kill me. I already know she is when she hears that. She is going to kill me 100%. But with that being said, family, y'all have a great night. And Sweet T and I will be back with you all this Friday night. All right, family. Have a good one.
Good night.
Ridiculous beats and D-Tray. I've been checking you the whole night. You move your body left, right, and tell a tight with the soul light. I wanna be your rock star full of energy. I caught you looking on the fly, I know you're feeling me. So let's get it, let's go, what you wanna do? I'm kinda eager at times, but damn, I'm feeling you. See, I can slow it down, cater to your every wish. These are the cat's appetizers, I'm your favorite dish. Yes, ma'am, I'm not cocky, I'm a go-getter. And all I see is you and me popping more figures. If you're with it, we can split and get acquainted. If you're tired of the same old games, well, I can change it. Yeah. So tasty. Now can I sample your pastry? You like it, I want it. Baby girl, go ahead and flown it. Baby, so fly. Can we get freaky? It's so nice. And all I need is one night, one night, one night, one night. money, baby, I see ya. It's an honor just to meet ya. They call me D-Tray, I ain't scared to say I wanna freak ya.
Oh, you so nasty.
But in a good way, and it's a good day for you to get straight. I have you climbing the walls, commit to role play. I had crumbs in the past, you got the whole play.
Man, stop lying.
If I am, I'm dying. It's an insult to you just to say that you're fine.
Uh-huh.
Let's make it, we can do it like this. Post up in the VIP and pop quick, let's get tipsy. I know you're with me. I won't bite unless you want me to. Feel me? See, I'm good as it gets. I got the potion. Plus the motion for your ocean. And it's so fast. Can we get free? It's romance. And all I need is one night. One night. One night. One night. One night. And it's so fast. So fast. Can we get free? It's romance. And all I need is one night. One night. Good in your BPs, I'll be your prisoner if you release me. And all I need is one time, I guarantee. A night of passion, everlasting, wanna see. Sure you do, don't wanna be rude, but I can tell by the vibe that you're feeling me, boo.
Yeah, right.
It's hard to get, yeah, I like that. I love a challenge, so you can fight back. Cause in a minute, you gon' witness where I'm nice at. So get them lips ready, cause you gon' bite that. See, I can rock steady, cold as an ice pack. I keep it coming till you're screaming that you like that. You feeling heated, baby? Let me control that. Your eyes telling me yes, so don't hold back. You got that bubblicious, I want the whole pack. So delicious, I had to let you know that. Can we get free? Don't mind. And all I need is one night. One night. One night. One night. One night. It's so strong. So fast. Can we get free? Don't mind. And all I need is one night. One night. One night. One night. One night. It's so sweet. So tasty. Now can I come for your pastry? Baby girl. So tasty. Now can I come for your pastry?
Ha ha ha.